Our youth led the worship service on July 5th at Southminster, talking about their mission trips. Lexi Fisher did the reading, Bryn King provided a reflection, and Ella Carson also a reflection.
Our first theme reading is a poem called The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean. The one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to hop and pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down into the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one and wild and precious life? Okay, so the next reading are the Five Agreements in the Toltec tradition by Don Miguel Ruiz. So the first one is be impeccable with your word. Number two is don't take anything personally. Three, don't make assumptions. Four, always do your best. And five, be skeptical, but learn to listen.
So I was one of the youth going to Spokane. And a little bit about me before I jump right into my little speech thing. I've never been a huge believer in a literal God or one that I could touch. I've, for most of my life, identified as an atheist. And I never thought that I'd find God. I certainly didn't think that I would find God in the poorest city, the poorest spot, and the poorest city in all of Spokane, or Washington, I mean. And I certainly didn't think that I would be up here giving a speech, but here I am. And every mission trip, this is my third one, Don gives out these little composition books, and we're supposed to write and document our journey, whether it be spiritual or literal journey or whatever we wanted. And every year, I leave them completely empty and use them for something else when I get home. However, this one time was a little bit different. I don't know if you can see this. I have four words written in here. It's a little bit of an improvement. But it says, maybe God is somewhere. I don't know where God is. I don't know who or what God is. I don't know what it means. I don't know what he, she, it can do for people, what he, she, it can do for me. But I think that maybe the God is somewhere. And this might be a little bit longer than 2 minutes. I'm sorry, Don. I don't think I found all of God. I don't think I found even a tiny little bit. To think of it in literal terms, I saw the tail end of God disappear around a corner in Spokane. It was just a little flash, a spark, so of God. There's a lot more that I don't know. And I never thought that I would find it in such a poor area. Now, most of my life, pretty much all of my life, I have been blinded by money. I've been very well off. I have a roof over my head. I have a family who wants to see me succeed and will help me do so. I have food and clothing. I have a job. I have a car. There are not many people who can say that in Spokane. And I never thought that somebody like me, with all my privilege, could intermingle with people below the poverty line. I'm so far above it, and these people were so far below the poverty line, and I never thought these people could mix. But they treated me like family. One of the kids we met, Jose, who was there 2 years ago when we last went, was like nothing had changed. It was like we were still friends and we just hadn't seen each other in a couple days and we were just back and he was hanging out with the whole group and it was honestly amazing. But I think I found God, or I saw a little flash of him in the little tiny microclimate-like communities that are built between the people in Spokane. There are, you know, obviously there's one big group, but then there are little sections of houses of people, and they stick together and they look out for each other. And, you know, when we went door to door asking people if they had any kids or if they wanted to hand out our flyer to some kid that they knew to come to our VBS, it was a very different experience from last time. Last time we got yelled out the first door we went to, and this time we had people politely, "Oh, no, I don't have any kids. I'm sorry. I think those people over there might, though." Everybody was very nice to us. And God is in those people. It's in the people that look out for me, even though I don't know them. These people, they're in the communities with themselves, and they look out for themselves and people they don't know. I don't even know my neighbors. I know two of them. And it's the people that look out for each other that are that small spark of God that I saw. And so I leave with a small realization that I haven't found the answer. I am not even close. I only discovered that there are way more questions that I need to be asking that I haven't even thought of yet.
What is your view on the world? Is it maybe a wonderful place where everyone lives in peace and no one is hungry? Or is it desolate and lonely where no one is happy? Some of you may not know me. My name is Ella Carson. I am going into eighth grade this next year, and even at this young age, I got to experience a small community living with hunger, hardships, and little money. But I learned that this world that they live in is neither desolate nor wonderful. Sometimes it's just somewhere in between. Going to stay at Campbell Farms in Wapato, Washington for 5 days, I really did not know what to expect. I thought it was, you know, mainly going to be like chores and praying and animals and not very fun. There were very few people going to stay there from my church, so I honestly didn't think I was going to make friends at all. To be honest, I was really scared and nervous, but I found out that Campbell Farms was a lot more than I thought it was going to be. Instead of focusing on my experiences and what I actually did there, I'm going to focus on the people that live there. During the week, some of my best times were when I was with the people and the kids of the Wapato community. The leader of the camp, who is an amazing woman named Carmen, was great to be around. When we would all pray together, she would just reflect and talk about God, and she just had a way with words, and she could make anyone understand what she was trying to say. The kids that would come to the farm were also an inspiration. Four girls that I had the pleasure to meet, Yanni, Maya, Janelle, and Anna, yeah, that's their names, they were sisters and are in a family of seven kids. Living in a poor community, you would think the people there would be unhappy as well. But these girls proved that wrong. They all supported each other and stayed joyful and appreciative. They lived life to the fullest and made those around them happy as well. They showed me a different side to the people there, and I will remember them for a long time. Leaving Campbell Farms was, of course, hard, but I knew that I had a full week and was ready to go home. I understood many more things at the end of the trip, and had experienced actual problems in this world. My two goals are simple: become closer to my friends and family, and to spread the word. The four sisters showed me the true meaning of family, and I hope to display this to my loved ones also. And finally, I want to tell people about what I experienced at Campbell Farms, about poverty and hunger. And I hope to open their eyes as well. Thank you.